things when we were developing Emily's website, trying to keep that in mind. So on Emily's website, you'll actually find many more materials, the unit overviews, the syllabus for the entire year. Emily talks a lot about that in the interviews. And it's certainly something that Magdalene has worked considerably on. How do you represent not just the single class, but the entire year of learning and teaching that takes place over that time span? And it's a tremendously difficult representational question. And I sort of regard what we've done as just, you know, tried to get a few things up there to remind people, right, that there is that context that's important. But I think it raises a good question for you all, which is, you know, we've talked about some practices. Sometimes we've talked about these as high leverage practices that novices can easily put into their practice that will help them to be successful. But then you've also said that part of what was missing was your sense of the purpose and the vision and how all of these fit together. And I guess part of the question is, are there things that would have helped in those, in Pam's class or in another class, to get at some of those other pieces?
You know, I'm not sure, because I would worry that if there had been equal focus on sort of the grand vision of what Hutchinson was trying to do, as well as on the strategies that we as novice teachers could implement in our classrooms, I would worry that I wouldn't pick up on any of it because it would be too much. Or, do you know what I mean? So I don't know.
I think one of the things that I've thought about, if I was even ready to have literate discourse at the beginning part of my career, I thought about Vygotsky and the zone of proximal development, and I thought about my own development, and I think that there was much sort of, there were many things that as a first year teacher that I was thinking about, trying to figure out my students' names, trying to figure out how to, you know, attendance. I mean, all these sort of bureaucratic things that first-year teachers have to contend with. And I don't necessarily know if, and I think, you know, I think we all put a lot of pressure on ourselves. But I think, I'm not sure that my first year I could have done that. I think after what the video you saw was, I was in my second year, 4 or 5 months into the school year, where my students, they were having that discussion. So, I'm not sure.
Well, I think Pam had also raised the question about your assignment, though, and the framing of the assignment. So, in a sense, Emily has raised this challenge, right, for the teacher educators, the same challenge that they face, that Travis is facing. You have these constraints. You know, how much can you get across in this amount of time? I mean,
It's interesting because actually one of the questions is about purpose. So I don't know if you remember, but one of the questions is about, but this is really interesting because I think what I learned from looking at the reflections of both Travis and Emily is you learned what you looked at, right? Mm-hmm. So in a sense, those questions, while they helped them mind the sights, also became blinders in a mm-hmm. sense. So the thing, you saw Emily leading the discussion on the anticipation guide, that was the thing she used, that was what her focus was. So there, that was part of the discussion, and that group had to actually listen to the whole interview to understand kind of what her broader purposes are and how they saw that reflected in what she did. But it does raise this question. I sort of distributed those questions across people, mm-hmm. and then my notion was they would learn from each other in these small group discussions, and I've realized that's limited in terms of what people actually take away from that. But I think it also relates to what Travis was saying, too. I think people are at various stages of readiness to kind of think through the relationship between these particular practices and the broad vision. I guess I would say that you both took something away from this, because mm-hmm. when I look Absolutely. At your classrooms, in terms of your purposes, they echo that sense of getting kids engaged in the text, mm-hmm. having them be able to think with text and understand text and talk with each other in that kind of academic way. But I think it is one of those challenges that we have in teacher education is that, you know, there's so much to do. And how do you kind of use the limited time you have to focus novices' attention on particular elements of practice, and both the kind of details of practice as well as these broader visions. After we did this investigation, I don't remember if it was year, I think it was actually the following year, I actually brought Parker Palmer into the discussion, the next class, to kind of pull back out. Say, okay, now we've been mired in here, let's pull back out and look at some of these broad purposes for discussion and why these particular strategies are important. But I think it's always that challenge of sort of zooming in and zooming out and making sure, as you heard Travis say, so much of teacher education seems so abstract somehow, and I was looking for, well, what is it that I can do? How do I learn how to do this? So
it also raises an important question for assessment and research in terms of, the, you know, this is an issue of development. So if we're going to look for, you know, Emily and Travis to implement Yvonne's practice as Yvonne, you know, implemented or did it in her class in their first year, I mean, we're not going to see it. And so the question is, what are the steps that are leading up to it? What's going to help us see that maybe they're on the right path, even if they're not there? And it requires us to think about that practice in a different way. And I think that's part of the purpose of now having these sites within your class now.
And I think it's one of the things, so one of the one of their colleagues in the class, Van Locke, led a discussion on Othello. And she also used this anticipation guides, and kids got very excited thinking about issues of interracial dating and all kinds of issues related to Othello. And she had had them ahead of time annotate, and they wrote questions. She used a lot of the practices that all of you use. And at one point in the discussion, which I show to my students now, the discussion, you're just about to lose Othello. And I'm watching this, you know, back in my office saying, oh no, she's gonna lose it, oh no. And she pulls them back, and she makes this teacher move, which is a first-year teacher I was very impressed by. I was saying, okay, let's take it back to the text, which now you can see, actually, then I show them a clip of Emily teaching students explicitly how to take it back to the text. But those are, I think, some of the teacher moves that watching earlier career teachers do this in situations that are very close to their own situations, I think can also help us bridge this gap. So I've tried to use those, all of your sites, in my classroom.
But along those lines, I mean, what thing, knowing what you know now, having looked at these sites, what kinds of things do you think would be helpful for the novice teachers that are going to be in Pam's class upcoming? What can they learn from you and from your sites?
I think that, you know, very honest reflection about lots of the lessons learned. And so I talk about how the journey that I took my students to have what you just saw, that I started having them call on each other, but that didn't necessarily work. It didn't necessarily allow me to achieve my intended goal. Then I had students write down their ideas, but that did not allow me to achieve my intended goal. Then I did the thing with the ball, but then they weren't necessarily talking about the text. So I think the sort of having students, I think that would have, I think, similar to what Emily said, if I saw Yvonne talk about some of the lessons that she learned. I mean, actually, she talked a little bit about this in her reflective video, yes, you are a master teacher, but you didn't wake up one day and become a master teacher, that you learned lots of lessons. And that, I guess, is some of, that's the perception when I saw the video that, oh, wow, next year I have to be Yvonne.
I would only add, I learned a lot from the rationale for certain things, and I have learned, it's taken me 4 years to learn the rationale for some things that didn't have a rationale with them, so I've tried it other ways, and it didn't work as well, and I realized, better try it the original way that Hutchison used it in. So understanding the purpose behind all of these strategies, and why they work, and why they are designed in a specific way is I think also a helpful addition to the site.
Well, in a minute I want to bring Magdalene into the conversation, but I just want to ask one more question. Also this issue though of now trying not just to capture what happens in the teacher's practice from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, now we're talking about capturing teachers' development over time. right? So now we have multiplied the representational challenges, and these are some of the issues that we're trying to grapple with in the exhibition, so trying to bring together the materials in ways that will enhance your understanding or viewers' understanding of group discussion, but then also to enhance this notion of what can we learn from development, even if we only can see Travis at one point in time, and Emily at one point in time, and Yvonne at one point in time, how can looking at teachers at different stages in their career help us to reflect on this issue of development? But before we turn to Magdalene, what about in terms of as you look at your practice, having now that you've, and I think it's also worth noting that you really didn't go back to these, to Yvonne's site until, right, we started actually working on this presentation. Right? So I guess, so one question that we might want to talk about later is, you know, why is that? Are there arrangements we could create that would help to support that? But for now, what about looking down the road? Are there things that you've taken away now that you want to try and put into practice?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think I have been a little bit too focused the last 4 years on the skills. You know, I looked at what Yvonne's students could do and thought, okay, I need to teach, what are all the different little skills that will gradually build up my students to be able to do what they're doing? So I think that I've lost a little bit of the focus on choosing texts that students find engaging, choosing texts that students can connect with on a personal level, choosing texts that have issues in them that students care about, things that are controversial that students will want to talk about, and things in them that will make their study of the texts personal to them. It's very powerful to see Hutchinson students talking about, for example, racism and language and themes in the story that affect their lives. Mm. I think that hasn't been my focus as much because I've been too concerned with, well, we've got to annotate and we've got to, you know, we've got to write questions in the margins and things like that. So that's where I see myself headed. That's going to be my focus going forward.
Yeah, and I actually think my struggle is probably quite the opposite.
And actually, I've learned from your website. We have the opposite problem, yeah. I think. Yeah. And even watching your website, I think, man, I don't do that at all.
Well, I think that, I mean, my students are... I think as a person of color, I'm always thinking about these issues of class and race, and so my students, by dint of my thinking about them, are always thinking about them as well. And I need to push them to where Emily is talking about that. I need to make them think more about skills, much more about annotating text.
Pam, what about you as you look to teaching this course again and again and again?
And expanding the resources, I think, again, for doing this. You know, I think I've learned a lot from this experience of preparing the symposium and looking at the thinking that Emily and Travis have done. I'm curious about the fact that they didn't go back. I actually have an email from Travis from his first year of teaching asking me for the URL for Yvonne's site, because of some discussion that was going on.
Oh, right, yeah.
So there's one, you know, there was one point where it came up, but I think it's interesting, you know, that they didn't go back to that and how we might think about making these resources more valuable in those early career years. How do we create maybe a discussion board or opportunities for people to post questions about when they tried this, what happened, and point each other to different sites and to their own work. And as you can see, you know, Emily and Travis are learning from each other as well, and this actually, your whole cohort continues to learn from each other, to share ideas, to kind of push in different directions and then bring that knowledge back to the group. So I think, I guess I'm interested in thinking about the follow-up. How do we create more opportunities for those conversations to extend beyond the boundaries of the teacher education year, and also to create more of a vertical conversation I mean, my students now know you by website, right? But how might you build in some feature where they could actually ask you some questions, some of these developmental questions, some of these other kinds of things? So I guess I'm interested in sort of pushing against the boundaries of that step year.
Great. Well, one of the things about these web